lordy. Huge subject. We should have another Mother Wanted Part 2. We should come back and talk about education. Obviously, but, you know, there's all these little aphorisms, right? The handle that rocks the cradle rules the country.
Yeah.
You know, give me the children until age 6 and I'll make them Catholics. I mean, there's all sorts of little affirmations like that, or aphorisms like that. But it's too big for us. I know you've been patiently waiting.
Thank you.
I'll just talk about social issues, especially reminds me of something that G.K. Chesterton once said, which I thought was really, it's humorous, but really not people are true. The business of the conservative, the business of the progressives is to go on making mistakes, and the business of the conservatives is to prevent the mistakes from being fixed.
Yeah.
And I think about our system now, it's the same old problem again and again and again.
Yeah, England has the same problems.
Like, this is our human nature. We're screwed up. And we need Jesus to get things fixed. If that one
yeah. 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 Okay, over here.
Yeah, the dilemma I have, I spent 6.5 years in the intelligence business, which I'm ashamed of. And then I spent 40 years as a large-scale real estate developer.
Which is even worse.
So why would I?
I got training
in intelligence business to be, you know, I always won, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing that bothers me is this, that I learned in that experience that the way things appear and the way people think things are is not the way it is.
Yeah.
And that, in fact, conspiracy is the heart of politics.
Oh, yes.
The heart of it. So you may think you're doing something good for an individual, and I think we should, as Christians, we should do something individual. But don't be fooled when, in fact, they're destabilizing areas in order to push people into other people's countries and so on, because they have another agenda.
Yeah.
And that is going on, and you can't be fooled by that at the big level. But as an individual, yes, you've got to be helping that person.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a very difficult time. And there are those who would use American freedoms to undo them.
Yeah.
As soon as they're able, but like you say, we have to proceed. You know, also I mentioned that we might come back to Penn and Teller and the idea of the misdirect. C.S. Lewis, for those of you who don't know, in stage magic, a misdirect is to be saying,
"Look over here
while I pick your pocket." It's used by pickpockets a lot. You know, it's like, I'll touch you on the arm while I reach into the purse. And I'm not any good at it. But otherwise, I'd be driving with a bigger car. But C.S. Lewis remarked once I thought was really telling about that one of the devil's principal strategies is to have the people all stirred up about the problem that's not the problem.
That's right.
Because then,
look over here.
Yeah, it's like, can you believe this is going on? It's like, meanwhile, over here, the real deal is coming. And that's what, I know you're talking about that because you're, and your intelligence, that was every day. My father was in the FBI and counterintelligence in the Army during World War II.
Well, the FBI is worse now.
Yeah, well, he left because he didn't like J. Edgar. Yeah.
Well, what year did did slavery get outlawed in the British Isles?
You know, I'm not sure what year it was. It was 1820 something.
Yeah, 1820. About 40 years before we did.
29, somewhere around there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so there's two things. Like, first of all, equality is not sameness.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. I accept that.
And the equality that we're referring to in this country is equality under the law, right? What makes us equal as a Christian, I think, is because we're all made in the image and likeness of God, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so here comes the thing. I hang around a lot. Well, not a lot, but a lot. With people of different genders and different sexual orientation. And I have to somehow figure out a way to tell them, well, I really think that God wants marriage to be between one woman and one man. Without...
Wait, you say you have to figure out how to do that?
I have to...
Or you do say that?
I have to... I have to, no, I have not said this to them, because I can't figure out how to say it in a way that isn't going to just totally make them feel like I think they're depraved.
Yeah, something wrong with them, yeah.
And, you know, and yet I can be with them, I can get their experience about how it is that they... what their experience has been and how it's impossible for them to be any other way right now, and they don't even necessarily want to be any other way and all this, and I'm not supposed to judge not, lest you be judged. So I'm just putting that out there. I don't know how to handle that.
Yeah, I think you might even
once
ask
once they find out I'm an Orthodox Christian, it's kind of fun for me, it's nice
wait,
for
wait,
me.
Do they know you're Orthodox?
I don't deny it.
Okay, yes,
sometimes actually told them yes.
So I think in that situation, the first question is to ask yourself, is it my job to enlighten them?
It isn't.
I mean, it may be. I'm not saying it's not. But I'm thinking oftentimes we'll take an action because we think we're supposed to. There's like some thing hanging around, you know, pushing us, and it's like, I don't really want to do this, but I feel like I ought to, like somehow, and I think you have to restrain yourself. It's like, one of the prayers I learned was, you know, when you're getting ready to do something like I'm doing today, you know, you just say, oh Lord, protect them from me.
Isn't there a concept of tacit approval as an affirmation?
Say it once again.
Isn't there a concept of like tacit approval would be affirmation? So like you're affirming their mental illness or satanic possession. I mean, there's definitely there's a problem.
No, don't. Sorry. I'll rephrase if you will allow.
This has helped me a great deal. It means that they
as my father says.
If they have any questions for me as an Orthodox Christian, they can come to me. So I'm going to forget about being all upset about it. I'm just going to live my life, and I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to tell them I'm an Orthodox Christian if they want to know. And that's it. And so if they want to know anything about my beliefs in marriage or anything, they can just come ask me.
You know, it's late enough in the day that I don't recall what I said in some of the side conversations and what I said to everyone.
This gentleman thinks it was very interesting.
Well, so essentially, Tom, just a second, sister. Thomas's question is, if I keep company, I'll use that word, with those whose behavior is not acceptable according to the moral standards that I understand our church teaches, am I not thereby giving tacit agreement or even approval to their behavior? I think you have to be referred to your own conscience, but if we only, and I do think I said this to everyone, if we only associate with people who already agree with everything.
I'm not saying that.
No, I know you're not. But I'm saying, and I'm not saying that you're wrong. Because I think that there is a place where there must be a parting of the ways. If an issue comes too far into the fore, as it's like we, in other words, you either have to agree with this completely, or not. Am I encouraging you to go hang out with people that you disagree with? Well, I mean, if you can endure that, go ahead. But I do think that it's incumbent upon us to be in association with people, other people unlike us, and to even engage them, if possible, in conversation about these very differences. I think that's important, and I think that prior generations were better at this than we are. Someone mentioned G.K. Chesterton. One of the terms that he's been referred to as a controversialist, which was actually considered a positive thing, not a negative thing. In other words, he engaged in conversation about controversial subjects, and he was Roman Catholic, in order to put forward the Roman Catholic position on things. And you can go back and, you know, before World War II, before the Nazis were in power, he was talking about eugenics and how outrageous the idea was that the state could tell you who you could marry, or that the state could tell you who could reproduce and who could not reproduce. And he makes this wonderful statement. This paper was written, I don't know, 1920-something. And he says, the time to protest is when the axe is raised, not after it's fallen. You know. Yeah. So I think that, yeah, you do want to engage others. But I don't think that our... I know. What's the biblical quote about bad company... what's the word? What's
it ruins
the
good morals.
Yes, thank you. Say it again.
Bad company ruins good morals.
Yeah, and I think that is true. But I don't think that that means... I mean, look at... Here's Jesus, right? He hangs out with tax collectors and publicans. Obviously, he's a bad person.
No. But he's there for their repentance.
Yeah. Ah, okay. But how did he proceed to call them to repentance?
No,
that's not a rhetorical question.
Going to their house and hanging out with them.
Yeah, and what else?
Being associated with them.
He died for them. You see? So he was less concerned about telling them that they were bad people. He already knew that, But he's concerned about their amendment. So yeah, I think anyway, to each. Yes. There's another attorney in our midst.
So two really hot topics. This is very related in our society right now are authenticity and self-identification. People self-identifying in a certain way and wanting to live authentically and making that decision for themselves, what it means to them to be authentic. And without getting into a philosophical discussion about that. I mean, I think it's up to each of us to decide for ourselves what version of authenticity we aspire to personally. But I think I think at the core of all of us as human beings, there's this yearning to be loved for who we are. And not necessarily have someone agree with us, but I think we all yearn for this affirmation that at the end of the day, at my core, no matter how messed up I am, that there is a love that is unconditional and that cuts through everything else.
Yeah.
And I think that as Orthodox Christians, we have the ability to love people in that way, and maybe we have to refer back to Scripture to remember what love really means.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And that unconditional love can bring someone into a place of repentance.